We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA, a Thursday afternoon. And I am on a personal level telling you, I'm still trying to process some of what happened in the city of my birth, Philadelphia, yesterday, as I looked at those images and I thought, well, that's what my patrol car used to look like. And I know that neighborhood and I know the neighborhoods around there. And as I mentioned to you, Richie Ross, who's the commissioner, he and I went to junior high school and high school together, played in the band and the jazz band together. And then I listened to the mayor and I thought, ah, oh, there we go. There we go. It is this attitude of contempt for the police, and make no mistake, that's Kenny's attitude. It's the Blasio attitude, and I don't know how anybody goes out there and does that job anymore. Well, I wanted to get some perspective. Me along with everybody else, our good friend Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, who has been doing yeoman's work all over CNN for the last 24 hours or so, covering this, offering some great insight, and always grateful that he can make some time for us. Jimmy, thanks for being here.
Jeff, as usual, you are far too kind. I appreciate the kind words, and I heard you up at the top, and I had a chuckle. I know my lane, so you don't bring me on to talk politics, but when you referred to Mayor Kenny as the Philadelphia version of Bill de Blasio, I thought that might have been one of the greatest lines of all time, and I understand completely the symmetry there. And to bring it back to seriousness, I was confounded and astounded last night during the midst of this, where the man well, the police commissioner in Philadelphia, was dealing with an ongoing situation, six officers wounded, two officers trapped for about a couple of hours inside, unable to be extricated right away, and for the mayor to make those immediate comments, I just thought it was like, hey, save the politics. There's plenty of time for that. Let's get this resolved. The police commissioner, the police department, the good guys, the feds that showed up from the FBI and the ATF, all the folks involved, even the folks in the neighborhood that lived close by that just wanted a peaceful resolution, leave the politics aside. But unfortunately, Jeff, that's not what happened when politicians get an opportunity to step into it in front of a microphone.
Well, Jimmy, tell me, because you have this global view, obviously, your perch with CNN as their go-to law enforcement analyst, your connections with law enforcement folks throughout the country. Unfortunately, this is not unique to Philadelphia or to New York anymore, is it?
No, I mean, if you're talking, if we're separating the politics, and you're talking about this type of incident, this type of crisis incident, as we refer to it in the business, no, it's not. And I often chafe, Jeff, and I'm sure you, with your background in law enforcement as well, anytime I hear somebody say it was a routine warrant service, or it was an executed warrant routine basis, and I go, there's nothing routine about it, because here's the situation. These things go on hundreds upon hundreds of times a day across every one of our states, local municipalities, state warrants, and federal warrants, and it's damn dangerous business. And because the police are so successful at executing them safely and effectively, and these things are an anomaly, what happened yesterday, you just think it's just like, well, it's just like grabbing your lunch pail and going to work. There's no big deal. But in this instance, you had a guy, Maurice Hill, and I heard you again talk about him, who had a 12-page computerized criminal history. In the business, we call that a CCH, which I think in layman's terms we refer to as a criminal history as long as your arm. And he was in possession of weapons that he was not allowed to own or to possess, which is another felony on top of the fact that he tried to kill police officers. But in possession of a weapon, who decided, hey, I'm not going to jail today. And what my fear was, was that he was not able to hear the news during the standoff, to understand that the police commissioner had already reported that the cops were going to be okay. And when you've got a guy like that, desperate, with not a thing in the world to lose, who believes that he's killed cops, man, Jeff, I did not think we'd have a peaceful resolution. And ultimately we did, which is just a huge tribute to the Philadelphia Police Department.
Jimmy, when you look at this, you see Philadelphia SWAT unit. When I was on the job, we called it Stakeout. They changed it to SWAT a number of years ago. You had the feds, as you point out, who were there as well. You had the district guys. You had all sorts of folks on that job. And I don't know if you had the same sense I did, but when you look at a situation like that, the usual resolution is either suicide or suicide by cop, right?
Yeah, what's difficult here in the 21st century is, you know, law enforcement officers respond to a scene and they've got to process all this stuff in a vacuum, that stuff that we now, with the benefit of hindsight being 2020 and slow motion videotape, you know, that we can reverse and look at in stop action. We have that benefit. They don't. And in this instance, you know, police respond to active shooters. Now they know they have to go to the sound of the guns. Everything else be damned. Just go straight and interdict the shooter. We saw excellent examples of this in Gilroy, California, and in El Paso, Texas, and in Dayton, Ohio of recent. But in an instance like this, where it's a different situation, you're going and you're attempting to apprehend somebody, you're attempting to take away their freedom, and this guy knew he was going to go to jail for a long time, and as you pointed out, he had already served stints before, he felt like he had nothing to lose. The situation here that you have to cycle through is this a barricaded subject, or is this a barricaded subject with hostages? When you add the hostage element to it, it changes the calculus, because, again, you've got to be prepared to go in and interdict as quickly as possible. And in the business, we refer to that as speed, surprise, violence of action, and a fail-safe breach to get in and get in on them quickly. In this instance, once SWAT was able to, the Philadelphia SWAT team, was able to remove the two cops and the four women that they were protecting, which just chaps my ass, Jeff, if I can say it that way, that there were people throwing debris and fruit and rocks at the cops while they were under fire. And then the four women that the cops were protecting inside before they were rescued by SWAT came out and said, "Those police officers protected us and saved our lives." It literally sickened me. But in this instance, once you remove the hostage element, now you can go, guess what? Time is on our side. Pal, you want to stay there for, you know, another day or so? You got it. It'll disrupt our community here. It'll cause a huge, you know, resource extension that we're going to have to use. But guess what? We're not going to lose any more lives on this. We're going to wait you out, and then we're going to start using things like they did after the hostages were let out, or the people that were kept in there. They pumped in tear gas, and they did it the right way. Kudos to the Philadelphia Police Department, Jeff. I cannot say that enough.
Now, Jimmy, you were on the HRT for the FBI, right? The hostage rescue team?
Yes, yes. The hostage rescue team is a counterterrorism team, 52 men. They're stationed at Quantico, Virginia. They conduct all types of, you know, high-risk rescues and arrests and apprehensions and renditions, you know, within the domestic United States and overseas as well, Jeff.
Not too much inside baseball, but were you surprised at some of the negotiations? I heard that the police commissioner, Richie Ross, was on the phone with the bad guy. I heard that the attorney for this guy, and apparently this guy had a long-standing relationship with his attorney because of his rap sheet. Were you surprised that those folks got involved in the conversations with this actor?
Well, I love your reference to inside baseball, and that's exactly where we're going with this. But I think it's an important point, and as a former cop, you recognize it. So there's a rule of thumb here. There are three major components that arrive to a crisis scene like this, and they are the incident commander, the tactical resolution commander, or the SWAT team leader, and then the hostage negotiator. And there's a rule of thumb. Incident commanders do not negotiate, and they also do not launch in with the SWAT team if you have to go in on a hasty assault or deliberate assault. So that was probably the one thing that I think that given an opportunity, since no lives were lost and there's an opportunity to talk about this in an after-action review, I would have loved to ask the police commissioner and said, yeah, why were you discussing, or, you know, did you have a relationship with this person? Did you know it? Did he ask to speak with you? Did you think that maybe there was some level of rapport that you could establish? Because typically, Jeff, the person making tough life or death consequential decisions at an incident, that's the on-scene commander, and they cannot be involved in tactical assault. They cannot be involved in the negotiation. So, you know, if I'm going to quibble about anything, it all ended out well, and again, they did an amazing job under fire. If I'm going to quibble about anything, I would love to know the reason why that decision was made.
Yeah, I'm going to give you my insight, Jimmy. My insight, knowing Richie Ross, is that Richie has that reputation as a cop's cop. In Philadelphia, the commissioner on the air, on the radio, was called Car One. And I can tell you, if you ask cops on the job in Philadelphia, they will hear Car One going out with car stops here and there. So that's my sense, is that he just decided, I'm going to roll the dice on this one. Good, bad, or indifferent, I don't know. But I think that's probably what part of his motivation was. Jimmy, are future law enforcement officers just SOL at this point? Because I see so many political leaders attacking them. I see members of the community, as you just talked about, it burns my rear end as well, that these officers were quite literally protecting small children at this daycare center across the street, the neighbors in that neighborhood, and people came out of their house as this thing was wrapping up, yelling at them, spitting at them, throwing things at them. How do we get good men and women to go out and do this job in this day and age?
Yeah, and that's the million-dollar question. And Jeff, I think it's also important to understand that courage comes in a lot of forms, because, you know, there have been 70 police officers to date. I just checked the website this morning. I wrote a piece for CNN Opinion on the Philadelphia standoff, and there were, I think, 70 police officers that have lost their lives due to line-of-duty deaths, and I believe 30 of them were from assailant gunfire to date. And that's not going to put us at the most per year if we stay on that track, but it is going to be a grievously somber year for us, because it's going to be a significant number of folks whose lives are lost. But not only that, Jeff, how about this statistic? The New York Police Department has suffered 9 suicides this year, and we're not even through August. So you compound it with that. Now, when you've got people dumping, you know, buckets of water on their heads in New York City, and people throwing and pelting cops with fruit and rocks and bottles while they are on a perimeter attempting to protect a neighborhood from an assailant, from a shooter who's shooting indiscriminately in the neighborhood. Thank God there was no collateral damage, no civilians were injured during this. But when that happens, gosh, how do you then go to the young folks and say, hey, this is a profession you want to join? Look, do I think that they've got the mettle to do it, the young kids? Absolutely. Do I think there are service-minded, idealistic young folks all across the country, especially in Richmond, Virginia, that want to do that? Absolutely. But gosh, Jeff, when I joined the law enforcement in 1991, it was a vastly different time. And I just look at it right now and I just go, man, the people that are raising their right hands and swearing an oath to protect and defend today, they are far better than me, because they're doing it under far more difficult circumstances.
Brother, I'm with you. I would not do the job today for all the money in the world. I just can't see myself doing it. And my heart goes out to every one of those young men and young women who goes through that academy for whatever agency. And as you say, swears an oath to go out there, do the job, protect and defend. I worry about the support they get, and I hope there are enough of us on the sidelines giving them a high five once in a while, letting them know that there are people that care.
Jeff, there are still sheepdogs out there. They're in our midst. They've got to be there for the vast majority of us that are a flock of sheep, and for the folks in our communities that are the wolves that refuse to live by our societal rules and refuse to follow the law. There are those folks out there. I trust that this next generation is going to do the right thing, and hopefully at some point in time they will get the support from the politicians and the public that they so richly deserve.
Brother, thank you so much for making time for us. God bless you. We'll talk again soon, Jimmy.
Sounds good, brother. Thank you, man.
All right, that is Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. I think tremendous insight. I'm going to give you an example in a moment of some of the stuff I used to see when I was on the job in Philadelphia, which may give you a sense of just how bad a neighborhood this particular part was. I told John Reed earlier this morning, the neighborhood is called Nice Town. The reality is there hasn't been anything nice in Nice Town in about 100 years. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.